Blessed to see you this evening. I just want to open this up, and we're going to go right back into worship. And I want you to think about three words. They're all spelled the same thing, and it's called Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All right. So just keep that in your heart and your mind, you know, throughout this service, as we allow him to be lifted up in our personal lives, as we lift him up over this house, over all the things that you're all involved with, your families, your friends. You know, I don't know about you, maybe you have a few backsliding relatives that need to come back. Jesus, I think that we're going to see some of these things this year coming into it. So the scripture I had in my mind, this is probably going to be one of the strangest services you've ever been in, all right? I just give you a heads up. So, you know, I don't want you to stone me on my way out the door tonight, but I think my wife needs to see me a little bit this week. So let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this precious family that you have privileged me to be a part of, and I just want you to know I'm so grateful for each one of them. I thank you, Father, for your holy presence. Lord God, for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do. Lord, as you prepare us for what lies ahead of individuals as well as this house, Lord God, that you would manifest your holy presence in every heart here, that wisdom would be released, that your healing virtue would flow, that your peace that passes understanding would grip their hearts and their minds tonight. Lord God, that you'd show yourself strong in such unique ways that all they could do is just stand back and say, wow, you're so good to me. Lord, I bless you for this house and this family here. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 13, verse 20, as he's closing here, he says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you," say, "That's me."
Yeah,
that's me. That's me and that's us. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
"Make us perfect. Make you perfect in every good work." Say every good work.
Every good work.
Guys, I'd like to say, hey, it's going to be look like vacation in the future. No, it's not. I learned how to spell ministry way many, many years ago, and it's spelt W-O-R-K, all right? I know that, you know, if you're an English teacher, you'll probably differ with me, but trust me, I've come to the conclusion that it's W-O-R-K. But thank God for his grace. Thank God his grace is sufficient for every one of us. And this is a time and a season where we must receive the abundance of grace, understanding the gift of righteousness, because it's time for you and me to reign. It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to reign in this life through the one man, Jesus Christ. He says, "Make you perfect in every good work to do his will." And I can't emphasize this enough. I know we do a lot of it here, and we have since I've been here anyhow, and I'm certain that Pastor Bill did the same thing. It's vital, it's very important that all of us stand perfect and complete in all the will of God in our lives, that we are filled on a continual basis with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you and I could walk worthy of the Lord, that we could be fully pleasing unto the good works that he's called us to. And I believe that I'm looking forward to the day when he looks at you and he says, "Well done, my good and faithful one," because that's the goal that is set before us at this time. And we're going to do it, church. Can you say amen? He says here, "working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight." I'm trusting the Holy Spirit tonight as I have prepared myself to the best that I can to stand in front of you. I just know that God wants to prepare you in such unique ways, because you are carriers of His presence. You're carriers of His love. You're the carriers that have an awesome responsibility, but an amazing grace to carry out the responsibility of the work that lies ahead, because the harvest is going to come in. I said the harvest is going to come in.
Yes,
and we have a lot to do to help them. And as I look out, I know there's a few younger people here, but most of us are maybe grandparents, and understand that God's not finished with any of us. Can you say amen? I mean, there's little ones that are coming in that need a granddad, a grandma, that need a mom, a dad, that need someone that will disciple them and help them and download what they understand about the things of Jesus Christ. So understand, that's part of discipleship, and it's not a one-man show. It's not, you know, up to the pastor and the evangelist, you know, the fivefold ministry. It's up to the body, every one of us. We all have a job to do. He says, well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, I thank You that You are the God of peace, and that You brought from the dead the Lord Jesus, our great shepherd, the shepherd of each one of our lives, through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, into this everlasting covenant that You have made with us. Lord, I thank You that You are making each one of us perfect, complete, mature, to do every good work that You have set, that is in Your divine will for all of our lives and for this house. Lord, I praise You that You are working in each one of us that which is well-pleasing in Your sight. Lord, that You started a wonderful, amazing work in the hearts of this body, in each one of our hearts here. And Lord God, You're well able to perform it and to bring it to a closure when that final day comes. And Lord, we give You praise that You're working within us. We stand in awe of You, and we thank You for it. Lord Jesus, we want You to know that we love You so very much. Amen. We're going to worship. And remember, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we're going to have communion. And that's why I said it might be different than you ever have before, because we're going to do it in a different fashion. And because we're family, I think we can get away with this, all right? And I'll be back for next weekend, so if you have any problems with tonight, give me a call. I'll come and see you, okay? I don't think you will. I really don't. And I want to encourage you that as we partake, God's healing power is here for you. There's things He wants to restore. Some of you are holding dreams that haven't been fulfilled yet. Some of you are standing in prophetic words that you knew it was from God. And you know that His word won't return void. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bring things to our remembrance that the Lord has downloaded within us, maybe years ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. But I also believe that the Spirit of wisdom wants to invade our life to such a degree that the expression, the steps that are ordered, will become very clear. And any bit of confusion, any bumps that maybe you've hit on the road in life, that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to pave the way so that we can walk in all that God has for us in this season. God bless you. You could be seated. I just want to, like I told you before, I think it was a couple weeks ago, when God shows me something, I always know there's a unique reason He wants me to do it. And sometimes it's like, they're going to think you're really weird. And I said, you know, they probably already think that, so that's okay, all right? I'm good with that, just so you understand that. Have you enjoyed this worship?
Amen.
Wow. Guys, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank God you so very much. I'm going to read some scripture to you. I might sit down, I might stand up, I might run around, but I just want you to be comfortable because I want you to receive. The whole purpose of this is for you and that we glorify Him because He's so good, church. He's so good. Matthew 26, I'm going to read just scripture to you. And then we're going to receive communion, but we're going to do it in shifts because I want to speak truth over you. I know you know these truths. We all do. This isn't our first rodeo. I know that. But I felt that the Lord wants to bring things in a whole new perspective for every one of us so we can receive the benefits that come by receiving communion and by being a family together. And the reason that bread is so big, it's not a little biscuit. I don't want you to just swallow it, all right? Sister Donna went to great lengths, okay, finding a bread that she was happy with, all right? And I want you to take your time when we receive. And I want you to meditate, to think about, but also to receive everything that that broken body has done for you. And I know you know, but humor me, I'm going to share with you anyhow. Can you do that? All right. In Matthew 26, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed it, and this bread is blessed." Amen. And he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, it says here, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We just worshiped, and I don't know, I didn't have a hard time thinking, not thinking about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. How about you? I am so thankful, Randy, and you guys. I'm just so thankful for you and the songs you picked out this evening. They're just amazing. It just blesses my heart. This makes Christmas to me. And he says here, "And after the same matter, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till I come.'" And he will come again. We understand that. He said, "Wherefore, whosoever eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." So we're not pointing fingers. We're going to look in. And thank God for the Holy Ghost, because he is the one who can reveal if there's things we need to deal with. 1 John 1:9 is still in our Bible. I am so thankful that, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. "And let a man eat of the bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." He says, "For this cause many are sickly among you, many sleep." Many are weak, sickly, and sleep. Or he says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. As he is, so are you and me in this world, and he's holy. He's sinless, and he paid the price for our sin. He paid the ultimate price. We certainly all know that. And I think sometimes some of these truths that we know, that we've kind of grew up in this thing with, is we need to bring them to remembrance. We need to remember what the Lord really has done for us. Because sometimes, you can know scripture and, you can have so much. And sometimes you just take it for granted. This isn't something to be taken for granted. This word is alive. This is alive. It's powerful. It's quick. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates. It separates the spirit, soul, and body. But he sent his word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. There's healing by receiving communion tonight. Whatever that might be in your life, I want you to be able to receive that, because he paid the price because of his love for you and me. In understanding, discerning the Lord's body, if I was to teach all this, I'd need a week. But I'm just going to be quick, because I know you got busy lives. But to discern means to separate by the eye, by the understanding, to separate thoroughly, to discover by the intellect, to distinguish, to have knowledge of, to judge. Discerning the Lord's body means distinguish it. Come to a decision, Randy. Come to a decision. Separate to holy purposes. The idea is readily to decide one has faith in the death of Christ and to lay hold of the benefits provided by it, and turning and not turning to one side or the other. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Who does what? Who forgives how many? And heals how many? And it hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that truth is just as much alive today as it was the day that the psalmist wrote it. And as we look at this, I want to ask you something. It says, do we really understand the broken body? It says in Matthew 20, verse 17, and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart, and in the way he said unto them, behold, I go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. They shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. But thank God, the third day he shall rise again, and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in understanding, he was the flogging under the Roman method of scourging. The person was stripped and tied and bent in a posture on a pillar, stretched on a frame. The scourge was made of leather thongs weighed with sharp pieces of bone or lead, and it tore the flesh of both the back and the breast. In Psalm 22:16, it says, for dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, for my clothing they cast lots. Now, as we look at in Matthew 27:26, it says, then released he Barnabas unto them, and when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, gathered them into the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him. They put on a scarlet robe, and when they had twisted a crown, they put the crown of thorns upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him. There it is. Saying, hail to the King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and and put on his own other garment and led him away to crucify him. If the scourging or was used on Jesus, it had 12 cords, from what I understand. I know that you'll see different articles on this, but he says he was hit 39 times. This would make 468 stripes, because those cords had 12 cords in each one. If some struck in the same place and cut deeper each time, one would see how his body, because the hatred in back of what he went through for you and me was so intense, the hatred in back of that each blow. He was marred more than any man. In Isaiah chapter 52:14, it says, "And as many were astonished at thee, his visage or his appearance was so marred more than any man, for his form more than the sons of man." In his suffering, the Messiah was bruised, beaten. he was so beaten that his outward appearance was, it was all, you can't even put words to it. It was so horrific. The English version says, "Many were horrified at what happened to him, but everyone who saw him was even more horrified because he suffered until he no longer looked human." Now Isaiah 53, and I want to focus on this as we partake and we take of the bread, and I want you to savor it. I want you to take your time. We're not in a hurry. We're family here. I have till 7:30. All right? And I'll try to be on time for your sake. But I want you to come out of this whole, well, at total peace, full of joy, full of health. I mean total shalom. Isaiah 53:4-5 says, "Surely he hath bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him smitten, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes," hallelujah, "we are healed." Matthew 8:17, it says, "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." And 1 Peter 2:24, "And you all know these scriptures," I know you do, "but I don't want them here. I want them here. I want you to receive, because faith always comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." He says, "Who his own self bear our sins in his own body." His body was broken for you. "On the tree, that we being dead to sins," thank God we're dead to sin. Sin no longer has a hold on us, church. "That we should live righteous, by whose stripes you were healed." He bore our griefs. That word griefs, you're going to find out, means anxiety, calamity, disease, grief, and sickness. He carried our sorrows. That means pain, sorrow, anguish, or affliction, physical pain, or mental pain. He was wounded for our transgressions, for our revolt, our rebellion, our sin, our trespass, our guilt. He was bruised for our iniquities, our evil, our fault, our mischief, our sin, anything that we've done against God's laws. He was chastised for our peace, for your peace, for my peace, for the peace of humanity. That word means completeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Soundness, welfare, safety, soundness in body, welfare, health, prosperity, contentment, and friendship. Hallelujah. I am a friend of God. Amen. He was whipped. The New Living Translation says he was whipped and we were healed. He was whipped and we were healed. Yes. That means to mend, by stitching, to cure, to repair, thoroughly make whole, healthy, restore to normal. I know this is symbolic, but I want you to know that his body was broken for you. And as we take and we eat, whatever it is you need, I want you to meditate on what we just gone over, but I want you to receive what belongs to you. This was done for you. That's the love of God. That's the love that bypasses our understanding. Take and eat. Don't be in a hurry. I'll watch you. When I see that everybody's done, we'll pick up and we'll receive the juice. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. everyone received the bread and finished. In Matthew 26:27, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." How much? All of it. That's why I didn't give you a shot glass. I want you to savor that. I guess you can guzzle it if you want to, all right? I'm not here to control you, but I want you to savor what that blood means. I'll just go over a few scriptures and before we receive, before we drink. Where was that blood shed? It was shed through his sweat, the scourge and the beating, crucifixion, the plucking out of the beard, the piercing. What does that blood give us? Hebrews 13:20 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen." The church in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and to the flock, to all the flock over that which the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Romans 3:25, it says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of our sins that are past through the forbearance of God." It's our faith is based on the blood of Jesus. We have favor with God through the blood of Jesus. In Romans 5:19, we're justified by that blood. "But God commended his love towards us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Ephesians 1:7, we're redeemed through that blood. Hallelujah. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." We're forgiven by that blood. In Colossians 1:14, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Ephesians 2:13, we're made close or nigh, King James says. "But now in Jesus Christ, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ." Hallelujah. We have peace through the blood. And Colossians 1:20, "And having made peace," in other words, to harmonize through the blood of the cross, "by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you, holy and unblameable." You are holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Your conscience has been purified by the blood of Christ. How much more, in Hebrews 9:14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" We're sanctified by the blood. In Hebrews 13:12, it says, "Wherefore Jesus also he hath," that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. With his own blood. 1 John 1:7, we're cleansed of sin by that blood. It says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, to purify from every bit of guilt." And we're washed in that blood. In Revelations 1:5, it says, And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed or bathed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us, hallelujah, kings and priests unto God the Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And we overcome Satan because of this precious blood. Revelations 12:11, it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. Now remember, do this in remembrance of me, he says. To remember means to preserve the memory, to preserve from being ever forgotten. To think about it, to consider it, to meditate it, to bear in mind with praise and adoration, to celebrate. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you do it, in remembrance of the price that was paid for you and me, because he bought us with the precious price of the blood that he shed. You and I are his ownership. He owns us. We're his property. You're his church. Take and drink. Thank you, Jesus. I am so grateful, God. I am so, so grateful to you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I could ask two handsome guys that were on the stage earlier if they'd come back up here. We would just close this evening with whatever the Lord gives you, Randy, and it's be fine. By his stripes, you were healed. If you were, then you is. And I think the next thing is I just praise him for it. I'm alive today because of those stripes. I'm forgiven today because of that blood. I'm whole today because of the sacrifice of my Savior, my Lord, my King, my everything. And I know I'm not the only one.